Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray today that your word will be spoken among us. Lord God, help these words bring life. Teach them to us in their true meaning. And then help us to understand that even though they're simple black and white, Lord God, you live in and among the words that you spoke to us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I don't know if you marked your calendars, but today marks 1 year. Marks 1 year. 1 year ago, I sat right here on a really hot day and stood among you guys and said, okay, let's go forward. You guys remember that? 1 year ago. 1 year ago. Today, 1 year, can we look back and say, hey, it's been a great year? Oh, wow, some people are like, let me get back to you on that one. But today, we take a look at, okay, over the next couple of weeks, or a few weeks, we're going to go into this sermon series. And it's a little odd, I know that. We're going to be going into something that I would like to call the RE. This sermon series, RE. If you take a look at your worship bulletin on the very back page, we're going to be in the gospel lesson. And as you do that, today I want to talk about this, the review. The review. What is the church? If you look at the Greek and you can say, okay, we get the Greek word ekklesia, and that can either mean the church or the assembly. So as a noun, that's what it really means. But it's got to have some meaning deeper than that. So we're going to take a look today at Matthew 18, and I'm going to ask you to highlight, to circle verses 12 through 14. And I'm going to have these words on the screen here. I'm going to ask you guys to read with me, please. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So this is what we're going to be talking about. There's been songs written about the 99, the one that went astray. And so taking a look at this, I sometimes get the thought, I put myself in one of two categories. Either I'm the 99 or I'm the... And so taking a look at this, which sheep do you see yourself as? If you are the one that wandered away, some of you are still at that point. Some of you are at a point where you're just beyond that. Some of you can't remember a time. It's been long ago. But sometimes you can feel like, I'm still wandering away. I'm still so far away from God. Sometimes I'm pushing him so far away that I feel like he might not ever come back. And then there's times when you notice that you go off and you try to get away during a certain point of life. Sometimes, I mean, especially for me, it was college. College is that time where you get away from parents for the first time, you're away from home, you try your hardest to do everything that they told you not to do. What about this, though? You ever thought about this? What if you're one of the 99? And Jesus says, well, I'm going to leave you here, and I'm going to go after the one that wandered away. Y'all have fun. almost like God saying, you're not important enough for me to stick around. And so what's the reaction? Sometimes in my reaction is, Lord God, I've been here this entire time here, and I've been doing the work. Why are you leaving me and going after someone who can't stand for you to be around them? And so I get my priorities mixed up. I get my thought process wrong. Because it's not about me, it's about what God wants, what God is looking to do in this realm, this kingdom. And so I have to ask myself, what is the what is this passage really saying about who God is? And so I take a look at for a little while now I've been asking people, what is the mission statement of this congregation? What is the mission statement of this congregation? And you know, about almost 99% of the time, you know what people come back and tell me? It's on the wall. It's on the wall. I've had people who come for funerals and say, what a great thing that you guys have the mission statement on your wall. If you look at our mission statement, that's not actually it. You guys know that? Really weird. There's a mission statement and there's a vision statement. The mission statement is what you're all about. The vision statement tells you how you're going to get the mission statement done. So the question is, what are we known for? And here's a small problem. If we who are in this building don't know what we're known for, that's a small problem. That's a small problem, because if we don't know our directive, if we don't know what God has sent us out to do from here, that's a small, small problem. Because if we don't know what God wants from us, then what is it that God really wants? And so I've been taking a look and saying, okay, if God said it, it must be really important. And so, looking at Matthew, because we can't get away from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Read this with me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Isn't this what he told us to do? Right before he goes back into heaven, isn't this what he told us to do? What was this something that he said, well, you know, whenever you guys get around to it, it's a good thing to do? Or do we say this is a command? And the interesting thing is that when he says that first word, go, that first word, we would think, okay, ready or not, start your engines, right? The cool thing about this word in the Greek is what he's telling them is when he says go, the starting point isn't right where he's saying go. The cool thing about this word go is where you've been, what you've been doing, keep doing it. Jesus is saying, continue to do what I've been telling you to do, what I've been instructing you to do, what I've been showing you to do. That's what this word go really means. And it's simple, isn't it? It's simple. I watched a video clip recently of a guy. He's a pastor out in California. So that's going to give you a clue right then and there. All right? He was speaking at a conference. This is not from a church, but a pastor speaking at a conference about this video. I'd love to get you guys, what do you guys think about this? Mark's going to redo this.
When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Simon Says. right? Most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for it. Simon Says is, Simon Says, pat your head, you know, so okay, you know, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize. You guys, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of the things we do, when he tells us to go out and make disciples, and how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? They memorized it. You know, when I tell my daughter, hey Rach, go clean your room. She doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, I memorized what you said. You said, Rach, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said and talk about how much we know? It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I'd start making disciples.
So is it that simple, isn't it? God gave us a command, go and make disciples of all nations. Pretty simple. If you're one of the 99, it's very simple. It's in and amongst here that we continue to focus on God's word, what he said. Because even in the midst of struggles, of what's going on in life, this is a place with the 99 that we look after each other, that we see that it's of dire importance that God says one of the 99 is missing. And so it's very important for the church to go out and be active. And so we lose that. We lose that sometimes in the daily life of what we have to do, what we got to get done. And Jesus says, wherever you are at, wherever you're planted, make disciples. Show love to people who think they're unlovable. Share with others around you, especially in here. If you've been going through something and you can find somebody else who's along that track, strengthen that person so that together this congregation can be stronger. Because if we're not known for something, that is a problem. Because if we're not known for this, then what is there? We need to be re-energized by what Christ did for us. That was his mission. That's our mission too. That his love be among us. If you notice that Christ is going out even before us. For that one that's gone astray, you might be the one gone astray. Christ is saying, I'm going after you. The 99, he's saying, you're in good hands. Strengthen each other as you go out from here. And so this morning, I wanted to also speak to the kids, because I wanted to make this very plain about how we do this. And I said, how do kids learn? Kids learn by simple means. And so this is the church and kind of what it means to be the church. Take a look.
Okay, pivotara.
All right, for the kids, what I'm hoping you see in this is this. Could he, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? There's a reason why I asked you that before the service. Because in here, he couldn't do it alone. And hopefully kids understood that. They see that. So he called reinforcements. Someone like him. And so they propped him up. Still wasn't good enough. Do you notice the guy on the outside? What was he doing? He was making fun of them. You couldn't tell what he was saying. He was making fun of the other guy. He called three more. Boom. He could reach him. Still not enough. Had to have a person to say, okay, how are we going to do this? Okay, we're going to rotate. We're going to make sure that we can do this. They still didn't do it perfectly, and yet they still got the job done. In the church, we're not going to do this perfectly. We're going to be laughed at. We're going to laugh at ourselves by how we do some things. But at the same time, we're going to have to call on each other to help us out, because there are light bulbs that need to be changed. There are ways of thinking that need to be changed. And we're not always going to get things done exactly correct. At the same time, it is together in this effort that we're going to do things here in this community. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, if we simply read what's in the black and white, we can see the heart of why you went to the cross, because we have all gone astray. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. Lord God, we need your love each and every day. Lord God, we ask you to be with us, Lord, because at your church, sometimes we do things or try to do things on our own. We can't get very much done, Lord. Help us understand it is by your word that we are strengthened, by each other, reminding us of what your word says, Lord God, that we are stronger. Lord God, help us understand that as we go forward as an assembly, as a church, as a group of people calling on your name, we are stronger in what you would have us do by banding together, by growing together. Lord God, we ask you to be with us, Lord. As Lord God, we sometimes forget that, and we sometimes want to simply be by ourselves. Lord God, that's my mentality too. But help me and help others understand that, Lord God, you are the only one that we need. And you called the 12 to do great things. You strengthen them. Lord God, you strengthen us to the same way. Be with us, Lord, as we try to figure out what our mission is, what our vision is, what we're supposed to be doing here, Lord. Because there is power that you have given us. Lord God, we want to use it to its full extent. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.